you're a physician here in town. What do you do?
I'm a hand surgeon.
And tell us a little bit about that. As a matter of fact, my wife may be coming to see you because she's having some issues with carpal tunnel syndrome.
Yep.
And she may have to have some surgery to deal with that. Is that something you deal with?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. Issues and diseases of the the hand really kind of tend to generate from the elbow and some places in the shoulder. Or the nerves in the shoulder. So as a specialist in hand and wrist surgery, we cover all those things that impact ultimately how your hand and wrist works.
Where'd you go to med school?
I went to medical school here at Michigan State University.
Well,
that's medicine.
That's why you're a Lansing guy, a Michigan State guy, but you have Detroit roots also.
That's correct. I was born and raised in Detroit in the Southfield area and then on into the Bloomfield, West Bloomfield area.
Why haven't you gone back, or why haven't you gone, who knows, Miami or California? Why stay here?
You know, initially I was a Wolverine, believe it or not. Forgive me for the audience that might get offended by what I just said. But I went to Ann Arbor. You know, that was the way in Detroit. You go to Ann Arbor, that was a school. But I was blessed by God to end up coming to and getting accepted to medical school here at the College of Human Medicine. And honestly, it was like discovering a new world. Lansing was, you know, we never heard about Lansing. We always knew Detroit, Grand Rapids. We knew Lansing was the state capital, but that was as far as it went. And I came here to discover one of the greatest cities in the United States. We have a city that has spawned several Fortune 500 companies. We have a capital. We are the capital. We have an insurance industry that, believe it or not, is, I believe, third in the country after Hartford, Connecticut, where I also lived. We have one of the greatest universities in the world, Michigan State University, and it has so many gems inside of it. Most people don't realize that the FRIB came to the United to Lansing because we have, or the mid-Michigan area, because we have one of the largest nuclear medicine programs, or I'm sorry, nuclear engineering programs in the world. And, you know, we shine in so many ways, yet I guess we're just humble as a community. We don't like to stick it in anybody's face, but, I mean, we really should. And it was that type of environment as a medical student that I discovered that I said, you know what, if I'm going to come back anywhere and raise my family, yeah, there's more money in Texas for a doctor or Florida. Hand surgeons are in high demand, and but ultimately there are things beyond money. You have to look at community. You have to look at what a place has to offer. And I think our mid-Michigan listeners should be very proud that they live in one of the greatest places in the country.
Do you have children?
Three.
And, boy, I know that world. let's put a bow on the issue with the burning of the Quran. An individual turned himself in and Ingham County Prosecutor Stuart Dunnings has declined to bring up charges. He may face some local charges. Just wanted to get your feeling on that, and it looks like this is coming to an end. Have you had an opportunity to meet with this individual, and what do you think of how this seems to be rounding out?
You know, one thing I have to emphasize, I'm very proud of the work of the East Lansing Police Department. I'm very proud of the work of the city of East Lansing under leadership of Mayor Vic Loomis. And I'm equally proud of the Ingham County prosecutor. You know, Muslims here in America are Americans. We follow and obey the laws. We respect the law. And the law felt that this time there's nothing to prosecute. And we respect that position. I mean, our pain, being what it is, has been shared and felt and alleviated by our neighbors coming together, Muslim, Christian, Jewish neighbors coming to help us out in this kind of time of trial. And honestly, the good things that came out of this event far outweigh the negative. And I think that needs to be emphasized. That needs to be celebrated. Thus, you know, we told the Ingham County prosecutor, respect his position. We stand with his position. I've been in communication with the Mayor Loomis, who's also been wonderful, as well as Luana Simon at Michigan State University and several of our church leaders, including Pastor or Reverend Carlson at All Saints Episcopal Church, amongst others. And forgive me for those who have spoken with me and I forget to mention them. But as leaders of the community and as leaders of faith, we felt what the more important message is to do the things that will bring us together rather than divide us. And so we accept it, and we made an official statement that we forgive this individual.
How many people worship at the Islamic Society of Greater Lansing?
Throughout the year, anywhere from 10,000 to 15,000 people will go through the doors.
What is the society's take on what is happening at the site of 9/11? Where a proposed mosque is going to go up. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, just as a point of clarification, the site is actually several blocks from the mosque, two blocks, three blocks from the 9/11 site. And also, it's an existing place of worship. I mean, people are actually praying there right now. They've been praying there for years. It's a remodeling job, and I think that really needs to be clarified. However, the take in our community is much like the take across the country. I mean, there are people with different opinions. Tariq Ramadan, a scholar, noted scholar outside of the mid-Michigan area, but one that several people here locally respect, felt like, you know, that location should be changed. Other leaders, and I'm one of those, including Congressman Keith Ellison, the first Muslim in congressman in the United States, felt like, you know what, America, it's a place of, you know, it's freedom of religion is one of our cornerstones and our hallmark, and that this location is nowhere near. I mean, there are strip clubs closer to the 9/11 site and off the track betting, which I would personally find more offensive, and that's just my personal opinion. And so it feels like that it should not be moved. However, I tell everybody that, you know, the beauty of being in the United States is America allows you the freedom of speech. And I think people who are as opposed to that center as I support the center being there, we're all right. And we're all free to express our opinions. That's what makes America great. I think ultimately a compromise will be reached that will make most parties happy. And again, that just goes to show how great our country is.
Are there radical Muslims who worship at your society in East Lansing?
No, I would probably tell you that our Islamic center would probably be the most offensive thing a radical Muslim would find. Well, honestly, radical Muslims have a very narrow view of Islam. That's why I don't even like to call them Islamic radicals, because they're not Islamic in any way. I mean, they don't define that. It's like trying to define that Christianity is defined by David Koresh.
But they blow a horn touting that they use that word, Islam, in everything that they do.
You know, and that's what extremists like to do. They try to take what's evil and wrong and justify it by what's good and pure. We know this from atrocities and horrible people throughout the world. I mean, let's face it, the oldest terrorist organization in the world is the KKK. How often had they used the Bible to torment and torture our African-American brothers and sisters for decades until people finally told them, you know, you're not Christian. This is not a Christian thing to do.
A lot of Muslims have died who are not radical in the war, if you will, against the radical folks who say that they are Muslims. What I wondered is, why don't the non-radicals rise up against the radicals and just wipe them out and say, no, we're not going to take this anymore?
They are. They are. I mean, and, as I've tried to tell several people, that for the moderate Muslims, now here in the United States, I mean, we take a hard stand. And I'll tell you, because the radical Muslim would have been completely offended by my respect of 9/11. As a matter of fact, that's probably made me a target for them. So what? I'm an American. I'm a Muslim. And 9/11 is a tragedy that I feel and share with my brothers and sisters, the victims of 9/11, as both a Muslim and an American. The radicals won't have that. They have a very narrow message that, and they're exclusive to it. That's what radicalization is. What I'd say is that moderate Muslims throughout the world not only have issues by which they have to fight radicalism, but unfortunately some of those countries are impoverished. They also have to feed their families. They have to shelter their families. And by no means does that excuse the existence of radicalism anywhere. But the issue there is that the moderates then, as they are presenting, they will go out and fight radicals, but they'll also fight hunger. They'll also fight for democracy. The thing is that a moderate doesn't have that radical voice that would sell papers. I'll give you a great example. Look at the response of the Islamic Society of Greater Lansing. Did that make national news? Did you see that on CNN? Was Anderson Cooper here? No, because moderate behavior does not sell papers. It does not sell media. It doesn't sensationalize the event. As a matter of fact, one of the national organizations had interviewed me regarding this incident and then told me that they were going to go in another direction. I asked them, well, why are you going in another direction? And they said, well, to be totally honest, you're not sensational enough. Okay. So moderates, I want you know, that as an American, and I am an American, I was born and raised here, that moderates have always fought and combated radicalism. And the great example, I'll tell you, look at Malcolm X and where he was at. Okay. And then he went to Hajj. He went to Mecca.
He was a radical Muslim who believed in violence.
I mean, that's the message.
To promote his cause.
I mean, so that was the message that was received about Malcolm X. But when he went to Mecca, look at the man that came back. Okay, that changed man. That Malcolm X went from a radical to a moderate. And why did he do that? Because he went and engaged the Muslim world, which he discovered was not what he perceived. It was not the message of radicalism that he was given. When he moderated himself, what did the radicals do?
They killed him.
They killed him. So the idea here, and that's really that a radical is not a person who speaks for Islam. A radical may be Muslim in the sense that they grew up in a Muslim society, but a radical takes himself out of that situation and now becomes a separate entity entirely.
Are there radical Muslims who may be in the mid-Michigan area who constantly work you or work other people who worship at your society trying to get you to change your thoughts?
No, because they have no place. I mean, they honestly will have no place or no voice in our center. You've heard my discussion with you, Tony, and this is the only scope of debate that I'll allow them to have. Now, I can also, you know, assure people in the mid-Michigan area, there, as far as we're aware of, there's no radical group or radical organization or radical cell. I also promised the mid-Michigan community that, you know, our center has worked closely with the FBI in a Bridges program so that if we have concerns, we express it to them. And when they have concerns, they express it to us. So their neighbors, their Muslim neighbors, are their American neighbors. And as been shown by this incident, this community is great because it can come together and lead to better and greater things.